This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Except, illa sharakukum fil ajr. Except they will get the same reward. Subhanallah. They're in Medina. They're at home. But they will get the same reward. The distance that you have traveled, they will get the same reward. This traveling what? Fi sabilillah. Remember the girl from Tabuk? They're going out fi sabilillah. That there's not a single valley you traverse and you cross except they get the reward also. Habasahum al-udhur. Because they have a reason for it. They couldn't make it because maybe they're sick or they really want, there will come some companions who wanted to come. But they did not have the means to do so. They didn't have like others because you have to have means to travel. You have to have a camel, you have to have equipment. So they didn't have anything. They really wanted to come, but they were not able to come for one reason or another. But if they did have it, they would have joined us. So because of that, they will get the same reward. And so those who are traveling also, when you're traveling, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to shorten his prayers. He used to shorten his prayers. And he would pray Dhuhr 2 rak'ahs. He would pray Asr 2 rak'ahs. And he would pray Isha 2 rak'ah. And of course, Fajr is already 2, and Maghrib is 3, so he keeps it still remains at 3. Before or after. He didn't pray them. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves from his servants, that if he gives them a concession, that means if he makes it easy for them, that they take it. It's like a gift. When you're traveling, Allah is giving you a gift. From 4 to 2, we're making it easy. Hey, you're traveling, just pray 2 rak'ahs when it's Dhuhr time. Just pray 2 rak'ahs when it's Asr time. Then you pray your 2 rak'ahs, then you're going to add another 2 of sunnah. Do you add another 2 of sunnah? No, you don't. Because then it's like, what's the meaning of the gift that Allah gave, that ease that Allah gave? Allah wanted to make it easy for you, so gave you 2 rak'ahs, and now you're going to pray 4 anyways. So you pray sunnah before or after, it would nullify the ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pray the sunnah al-rawatib, with the exception of the 2 rak'ahs of of Fajr, and he would pray his witr prayer. He would not abandon the witr prayer. And of course, also at nighttime, some of the companions used to pray. They used to pray tahajjud also. Right. So these are the prayers that are outside the shortening of the prayers. If it's connected to the shortening of the prayer, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would accept that, another concession that Allah gave. He wouldn't pray in those sunnahs. But even if you don't do so, it's actually more rewarding for you. More rewarding for you. But whatever you're able to pray, whatever you used to do, let's say you used to fast before you travel. Every single Tuesday, every Monday and Thursdays, you used to fast, or you used to fast every other day. But when you're traveling, it's more difficult, so you can't fast. Your sunnah fasts. You can't pray your regular prayers. You will, inshallah, still get the same reward. So every prayer that you used to go to the masjid, you will still get the same reward as praying in the masjid also. Even though you're just praying 2 rak'ahs. But those 2 rak'ahs, so that's why every single person who prays, even though when we say the reward that a person gets for every prayer is different because everybody is different. It's the reward, the prayer itself, and the person itself also determine how much the reward they get. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very gracious. So if a person prays, let's say somebody stands up and prays, they might even get more reward as a result of them. Let's say they're praying in the masjid, the two travelers, right? One is traveling, and he has a partner with him. And they're both praying the same prayer, right? Same prayer. But one person might get a lot more reward because when he was at home, what did he used to do? He used to pray in the masjid. The other person just prayed at home. But now they're traveling, they're still getting the same prayer. So that's why when you're coming to the masjid also, and when you're doing a good deed, there are many other factors and variables that determine how much the reward a person gets. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that al-ibadat fil harj, worship, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of trials and tribulations, in times of turmoil, in times of turmoil, a person will get 50 folds, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it by 50 times in times of difficulties, in times of turmoils and hardship, because it's so much harder to establish prayer, so much harder to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of turmoil. And so the companions, they said, okay, they get 50 prayers. What do you mean, 50 of them or 50 of theirs or 50 of ours? So they understood that the reward that the companions get, that they get, is much more. خَمْسِينَ مِنَّا وَخَمْسِينَ مِنْكُمْ 50 of them for those people in the generations that come later on in time, in those times, or 50 like us? And he said, 50 like you guys. 50 like the companions, the worship of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because everything that they do is magnified. What? Because of their status, because of their position, because of their influence, because whatever they're doing, people learn from them. You know, whatever they teach, generations that come afterwards will learn from them. And the reward that the companions get is so much more because of their status. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the status of those people. And so people also, there's also tafadhul, that's their difference of reward in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on the person. Based on the person. It's not based on like the color of your skin or the language that you speak or whatever it is. It's based on taqwa. Based on sincerity. A person who's sincere is not like someone who is not sincere. A person who is concentrating is not like the one who is not concentrating. So when a person who is standing up in prayer, if you're concentrating and you're focused in your prayer from the beginning to the end, it's not like the one who stands up to pray and thinks about all kinds of things. And by the way, when you stand up to pray immediately, what happens when you stand up to pray? Like before, you know, you might be thinking about other things, and actually sometimes you're making dhikr, but then as soon as you stand up for prayer, everything comes to you. Everything comes to you. Why? Because the shaitan knows, he knows how valuable this prayer is. He knows how valuable, and it's so valuable that there is a specific duty of shaitan that comes and is waiting for the people who pray. And his job is to distract you in your prayer. That's why it's so difficult, because there's a shaitan. Specific job is to distract you in prayer. And the shayateen, of course, there are many. But you know, if it's something that's important, then you delegate, or you have someone, or have someone that is specific for that duty. If it's something very, very important. So that's why when you stand up, there's specific shaitan, and his only duty is to distract you in your prayer. And so that's why when we're praying also, when you're coming to the masjid, when you're focused in your prayer, inshallah, you get 25, but that 25 is more rewarding. 25 is better than praying at home. Now, of course, we said that the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that that prayer is valid also. Like the only, you know, some scholars like Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and others have mentioned that the prayer is not valid. And we said the stronger opinion, it is valid. It is something that it is valid. And when we say something is valid, it means that you don't have to repeat it, because there are two types of things: acceptability, validity, and reward. The reward and the validity are two different. And sometimes an act is even not accepted in terms of, not accepted in the sight of Allah, but it's still considered valid. Like what? Like if someone were to make Hajj, right? If Allah accepts the person's Hajj, it is Hajj mabrur, Hajj that does not have sins and so forth in it, meaning you try your very best to avoid that, all of those things are prohibited, and you do it correctly and it's accepted, the reward for it is Jannah. But let's say somebody makes Hajj, right? And they, like, you know, in the Hajj, like, they're not patient. Because some people, when it comes for Hajj, before the Hajj begins, they're already complaining. Especially now, you know, with the difficulty in registration and so forth, there are some people who are, they're already complaining about everything. Complaining about the prices of the hotel, complaining about this. Instead of thanking Allah for the opportunity, they're complaining about everything already. And so then the Hajj comes, and the whole time, all they're doing is just complaining. Complaining the whole time. Not being thankful to Allah for the opportunity and taking advantage of this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, complaining about the organization. It's a test for you. You go to the whole, any country you go in, what happens? You land, you leave the airport right away, but not in Hajj. Not Hajj. You land. I have been in the airport for over 24 hours. I mean, for me personally. You know, I land at 6 o'clock at the afternoon, and I don't leave the airport until 6 o'clock the next day. Not 6 o'clock in the morning, no. 6 o'clock the next day, because it's so unorganized. Like, I have been in the airport for 24 hours. Like, something very easy, just paperwork, go, leave, right? No. Sometimes in some many years, like, you know, 6-7 hours, right? That's average, 6-7 hours. But I've been in, there have been times in which I was stuck in the airport for 24 hours. And alhamdulillah, sometimes, you know, you see the people who are with you, right? You see the people who are with you. There's a group of people, alhamdulillah, they're taking advantage, making dhikr, they're making wudu. Hey, they're coming, ask, what sunnahs can I pray right now? Right, and so forth. What sunnahs, what can I do? They're like asking, what can I do? You know, while we're waiting and telling you. And then there are others, they're complaining. As soon as they wake up, they're complaining. Left and right. So the reward that a person gets, it's not just the act itself also, it's everything around it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides people towards patience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps strengthen them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He puts in your mind, your heart, you know, you realize, hey, this is fi sabilillah. Whatever hardship I'm in, I'm being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you're in that situation and you're complaining, there's nothing that's changing anyways. Nothing's going to change until, you know, everybody's trying to do their best to finish everything in time. And, you know, sometimes things happen. There are times in which we've gone to the airport and it takes us 4 or 5 or 6 hours. And there have been times in airport, it took us 18 hours to go Mecca to Jeddah. Imagine being stuck on the bus for 18 hours. When you're about to leave, 18 hours, the plane already left. Like the whole group misses the plane. Misses. And then, of course, you have some people. This is at the end. Allah tests a person all the way to the end. And so Hajj is like life also. And so when you're praying also, when you're traveling, and when you're working, or when you're praying, all of this, everything that we do, these are tests and trials and tribulations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are the ones who are successful? Number one, they're the ones who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the reward, like a person who worships Allah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we know that a person, the deed is different. The reward is different. Some people, they have ihsan in their actions, in their worship. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described ihsan. When he was asked by Jibreel, and we went through that hadith before, and what is ihsan? He says, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That you worship Allah as if you can see Him. And if you can't see Him, then He can see you. In other words, your act of worship, notice that the Prophet ﷺ mentions seeing. Because seeing something is different than being promised something. You know, when you're promised something, and then you don't know that, you know, you haven't really seen it yet. It's different than when you see it. As soon as you see something, it's different when you act, when you do your work, when you do your job, when somebody promises you something and you don't know if you're going to get it, or you know, you don't, meh. But as soon as you see it, you see the goal already, the acts that you do, what happens? You're not tired anymore, right? Because you know you're going to get it. You know, you can see it with your very own eyes already. You've already experienced it with your very own eyes. It's just like there are certain things that people who don't know, people who know, like your children right now, you know, their children, kids, they don't know what life is all about, right? They don't know what life is all about. And so they spend their time doing what? Playing. Right now, all of us here at this age, we're like, man, if I was younger, if I could go back in time, what are some of the things you wouldn't do? What are some of the things you wouldn't do? Like, man, I wouldn't waste all my time on so many things. There are so many things like I did, subhanAllah, I wish I didn't do them. Like sometimes we're embarrassed that we waste our time on things like that, on some of those things that we could have done, like because what we know now. So what is it that we know now? It's things that we've experienced. We see it with our very own eyes. We already know. And so those whose faith, whose iman is high, in their ihsan, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state in which their faith is high to the point where as if they're already seeing everything. Everything that they're doing, like right now, before, let's say when you're a kid, right? You know, like you don't want to do your homework, you don't want to go to school and so forth. And then now you see, hey, you know what? If I would have gone to school, I would have tried hard there. Maybe I would have had a, you know, my PhD by now. And at this time, I would may have memorized the whole Quran already. And there's so many things, right? You can go, you think about it. But if you were to know what you know now and you were to able to go back, how would you behave? How would you behave? You would behave differently. And would it be hard for you to do some of those things? No, it wouldn't be hard for you because you're like, you know what? I know what's there. I know what's ahead. That's why. I know what's ahead. This is worth it. This is worth it. Even though I'm a little bit tired, you know, I'm still going to go here, go to school. And that's the dunya. But for the people of the Akhirah, they worship Allah as if they could see Him. Because what is the greatest pleasure that a person gets in Jannah? To see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the greatest pleasure. So you worship Allah. You worship Allah as if you can see Him. As if you are there on the day, it's Friday, and Allah is calling people to Jannah. Calling people to Jannah. And you're there in Jannah. And it's like there's a marketplace where people gather, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the believers the best, the greatest blessing ever. And that's to see Allah. Allahu Akbar. And in Jannah, you can have whatever you want. In Jannah, there will be no more tiredness, no more hunger, no more sleepiness. It's just, there's no more hatred or envy. You might be praying and you're like, Allahu Akbar, I'm praying. I finish prayer, I go home. And like, you know, my wife, man, you know, she's going to say this and that. I know how she is, right? And you're like, subhanAllah, if I could go home and she just smiles at me all the time, always happy. When is that? That's in Jannah, inshallah. That's in Jannah. Oh, wait. If you have it in this life, alhamdulillah, right? But in Jannah, that's always the case. Your family, you return home, you come back, and your wife says to you, honey, you look a lot more handsome than you were before you left. And then you look at her and say, you also, everybody looks better. And so in Jannah, you think about Jannah, and you think about the hereafter. Those who have ihsan, when they're worshiping Allah, it's as if they see what's already there ahead of them. Because that's what's going to happen. You know, when you see Allah and when you're in Jannah, then when you, as if you can see Allah, as if you can see Allah, you are in a state of what? In a state of hopeful and happiness. فَكَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. But if you can't see Him, then Allah can see you. What does that also mean? Yeah, your faith is high, but also what? That you're always conscious of Allah. You don't want to do anything that's displeasing to Allah. If Allah's watching you all the time, if you know Allah can see you, what do you do? If you commit a sin, what do you do? Ya Allah, forgive me. So in your prayer, you're asking Allah for forgiveness. Because you know Allah can see you. And you remember all the bad things that you did and you ask forgiveness. And you change. Because Allah can see you at all times. So as if you can see Allah, and if Allah sees you. كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. If you're in a state where you're conscious of Allah all the time, that's the state of ihsan. And that's the highest level. Those who have ihsan, that's the highest level of iman. That's, you know, of faith. So that's the level that you want to reach. But of course, our iman goes up and down. Just like our deeds increase and decrease, you get less than you get more. Our faith, our iman, also goes up and down. It also goes up and down. But does it mean that we don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Because our faith isn't, iman isn't just stable. Iman goes up with good deeds. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about even Prophet Ibrahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. And remember when Ibrahim said, أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Show me, how do you revive the dead? Oh Allah, show me, how do you revive the dead? قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِن. He said, do you not believe? قَالَ بَلَى. He says, yes, no, I do believe. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. But I just want my heart to be, you know, stable. In other words, my heart to be at ease. I just want to be my heart to be at ease. I believe. I know that you can raise the dead back to life. But seeing is not like just believing. Once you see, it's different. It's different. To see it is a different level than to, yeah, you believe. Yes, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can. But to see it, it's a different matter. And that's why every single time we see some of the signs of the Day of Judgment, what should it do to us? What should it do for us? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that there will come a time in which you will see shepherds, barefooted shepherds, barely clothed, naked, barefooted, destitute, poor, competing in building tall buildings. When you see that, then know that the hour is near. When before you see all the building of the tower, you know, people building these tall towers in the desert, tall skyscrapers in the desert, did you not believe in the hadith? Yeah, we believe. We all believe. Alhamdulillah. We know the hadith is authentic. We believe it. But then when you see it, like subhanAllah, it has a different effect on you. And so the faith, a person has faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes your iman goes up and down. When you see miracles or when you do good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens your faith. So it goes up and it goes down. And so from this ayat, we know that the verse that our iman, our faith, isn't just like, okay, either you believe or you don't. No. So when Prophet Ibrahim, when he asked, did he not believe? No, he believed. He had faith, he had iman. But he wanted more, he wanted to more certainty. In other words, he just wanted strengthen his iman. He believed. But when you see something, oh, that's how it's done. And that's why, like I said before, like one of the miracles is that everything in our body, whatever we get, whatever we do, our bodies, in the DNA and in the blood, it records everything. Even doctors know it records everything. And I told you, they take a piece of blood and they know everything about what sicknesses that afflicted you even when you were young. Because I remember looking at mine long time, and then I see, they said, when you were a kid, you had this and you had that. And you had this, and they said, this is, you had something with your lungs. And then they said this, and they're like, my mother, my father don't even know what kind of sickness that I had. My body is telling them this is what I had. My body kept a record of every sickness I had. And I remember looking at the record, like, whoa, I had this, that. They have it all, like, when they take your blood and they test everything. All of this when you were a kid. And, you know, when you were in Vietnam, and these are like, oh, you had this shot and that shot and this, that. Like, they weren't there to see the shots. They weren't there when I was sick. They weren't there when some of the things happened to me. And then they could see and they could tell me. Why? Because my body recorded everything. That's how amazing Allah created us. Everything that you do, your body records it. Such an amazing. How can you not believe in Allah? Subhanallah. And so we were just talking, we're talking about the faith. A person's faith and iman goes up and down. And our iman also, as I mentioned, the more deeds we do, the more good deeds, it rises. And when we commit sins, then our iman goes down also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions over and over again in the Quran, we have so many verses that for those who don't believe that iman goes up and down, like you're not really living. Because there are some times in which you wake up and it's very easy for you to get up for tahajjud. You get up and you pray tahajjud. And you feel it also in Ramadan. Right? You feel a difference in Ramadan also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدَى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُ وَالَذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا, those who are guided, زَادَهُمْ هُدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased them in guidance. Meaning, you're on the truth, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens your guidance, strengthens your iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا. And then those who believe, their iman increases. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. As for those who believe, then their iman increases. So this is, and you might say, well, this isn't that a given? Yes, but there are some people who think that iman is just, it's just the same for everybody. And you might say, well, who are they? Who are they? I'm not talking about the Murji'a or Mu'tazila and people before. They are people that live with us as Muslims. Even though they don't know anything about these people, but they have the same belief. Who are they? They're the ones who tell you, or who you tell them, say, brother, you see the brother in the gas station? And they say, brother, you can't be selling alcohol like this. it's not permissible. Right? Because there's some brothers who have like these corner stores, and the biggest profit that they get is what? Why are they open 24 hours? They're selling liquor. They're just selling there, and the people are coming to them, that's what they're buying. And you see, like, brother, he's a Muslim. You know he's a Muslim. You tell him, brother, you shouldn't do this. It's not permissible. What does he say? Brother, iman is here. brother, iman is here. Ya Allah. Iman is here. Like, yeah, I'm Muslim. Iman is here. And they point to their hearts and legs. That's where the iman is. Ya Allah. That's where the iman is. What are they trying to say? What are they trying to tell you? Like, iman has nothing to do with actions. Has nothing to do with actions. I'm still a Muslim. I believe. It doesn't matter what I do. Another iman doesn't increase and decrease. And no, iman is here. Like, iman is here. Yes, iman is there. But what they're trying to say, tell you, is that all these actions don't really matter. Like, yeah, I know, but I'm still a Muslim. It doesn't really matter. No, it does matter. Your iman increases with good deeds. And when you commit sins, it decreases. And there are some people who say that iman is here, but they have their actions contradicted. Their actions contradicted. So they don't really have iman. Like, there are some people who believe. They say that they're Muslims, but sometimes they sell their deen. They sell their deen By doing what? By doing things that contradict iman and faith. There are certain things we know are haram, that we know are not permissible, right? That we know are not permissible in Islam. But then you're going to go and celebrate those sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests and Allah punished the people for. And you say it's okay, and you support them in their sins. In other words, you celebrate their sins. You celebrate their sins. Why? Because you've sold your deen for status, for money, for position. The only thing you have is just your name. But in terms of your actions, it contradicts it. So you're promoting things that Allah dislikes. And you're helping people who are against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are some things that are very, very clear. And there are some things, of course, this is where the trials and tribulations come in. The fitan. When the fitan comes, you have to be strong. You have to strengthen your iman. Why? Because those who don't have strong iman, they will not be able to see the truth. And they will sell their deen, the arda min ad-dunya, for just a fleeting pleasure of this worldly life. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, badiru bil amali fitana. What does he say? Badiru bil amal fitana. Meaning, while you still can, do as much good deeds as you can before the fitna comes. Because when the fitna comes, how is it going to affect you? If you don't have strong faith and strong iman, what's going to happen? When the fitna comes, you won't be able to distinguish good and bad. A person will wake up in the morning as a Muslim, in the afternoon he's a non-Muslim. And a person will go to sleep as a Muslim, and in the morning he's a non-Muslim. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرْضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. The fitan will come كَخِطْعَ لَيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ, just like sections of the darkness of the night that hit you. You can't see good from bad and right from wrong. And so you'll see some people, because they don't have the strong foundation and knowledge, and you know, you can only ask Allah for guidance, but you'll see them, they fall by the wayside. Ala fil fitnati saqatu. When the fitna comes, then they fall. Why? Why do they fall? Because of their faith, their iman. And that's why when you're able, when you're awake, when you're able right now, when you have the opportunity to come to the masjid, come to the masjid. 1 or 7, 27, choose the 27. Because the fitna can come at any time. Not only is a fitna can come, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can destroy everything in one moment. Especially in the West Coast here, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, all of this can be underwater in the next hour. May Allah protect us. And so that's why you never know. So that's why when you have an opportunity to do good deeds. And the reason why we're mentioning here is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Salatul jama'ah afdal min salatil fadl. Praying in congregation is better than praying by yourself. One of the things that will help you is to come together in trials and tribulations and times of difficulties. You know whose faces are that you can depend on, inshallah? You can depend on those people who are in the masjid at Fajr time and Isha time. Because those prayers, the munafiqun, is very difficult. You see the brothers at Isha and Fajr? Yeah, inshallah. You need to be with good brothers, depending on them. Those are the people. Come pray in the masjid. Not only is the reward very great, but inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strengthen your faith and your iman will go up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it to the point where you want to come to the masjid. And you don't want to pray at home. And it's not the same when you pray at home and you miss home. When you miss praying at home, it's like losing your money. Some people, you know, the salaf, the scholars of before, when they would miss a prayer in the masjid, you could see it in their faces as if they lost all of their money. As if they lost all of their money. Just one prayer. As if they lost all of their money. And so the reward is very, very great. Especially in the morning, darkness of the morning, and the darkness of the night. The hypocrites don't come. And also that's the time in which Allah will give you nur on the day of judgment. Give glad tidings to those who go to the Fajr prayer and the Isha prayer, because they will have nur on the day of judgment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them when it's dark for everybody else. And so not only that, the reward is also forgiveness. Subhanallah. What's another reward that a person gets when they come pray Jama'ah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا أَمَّنَ الْإِمَامُ فَأَمِّنُوا. When the Imam says Ameen, then say Ameen. Because whoever's Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the angels, all his previous sins will be forgiven for. You don't get that when you pray at home. You pray in the masjid every rak'ah. Every time you say Ameen, you have an opportunity to have all your sins be forgiven for. Allahu Akbar. Right? When you come to the masjid, the reward is so great because it is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when your heart is attached to the masjid, Allah will shade you on the day of judgment. On the day in which there will be no shade except for the shade of Allah. Right? Amongst them is Rajulun Qalbuhu Mu'allaqa bil Masajid. A person whose heart is connected to the masjid, that they're always there. And so anytime you have, may you feel lazy, think about all of the reward. And I know, like, mashallah, the brothers are here, we always see your faces in the masajids. And those who are up there, inshallah, make sure you come to the masjid. And those who are here, whenever you feel lazy, just think about some of these ahadith. Not only 27, right, but there's so much more reward. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and to give us the best of this world and the hereafter. And again, we'll continue with some other issues relating to this hadith. I just wanted to mention this because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salatul Jama'ah, afdal, better than. The better here is it's different for everybody. You know, and some people, the reward is very great. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases for them even more. Not everybody is the same. Not everybody is the same. And that's why the Jannah is also not one level. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the highest level in paradise. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Anybody have any questions? Otherwise, inshallah, we'll continue next week with the continuation of the bab, the hadith. The next hadith we will be covering also is a similar hadith, but there are other rewards for it. Rewards for walking to the masjid and the dua that you say, and you know, and the reward of waiting in the masjid. And so there's a lot more reward, inshallah, in relation to to coming to the masjid. So we'll continue with the Umdat al-Ahkam next week, inshallah, with more hadith about congregational prayer.